outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gym.
Well, welcome everybody to the God Journey, and we are doing a standalone episode today because we have the joy of having Sarah Jacobson with us today. So we are taking a hiatus from exploring the God-shaped life and doing a just follow-up interview with Sarah and Wayne as we circle back and get close to the one-year anniversary of the last year of their lives and the incredible story that's been unfolding. So welcome, Sarah, to the God Journey.
Thank you.
Here, here. And you're optimistic. You think we're going to do this in one episode. That'll be fun. See if we can try it.
Well, you know, it's definitely optimistic, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see where this takes off.
And we're trying some new technology here to get Sarah in on the video part of it. So we got a screen thing in my little closet here at the apartment where we still live. So now you can see a little more of my apartment and all the boxes stacked up on the bed.
Can you see the boxes?
Yeah,
a little bit. Oh, and the throw pillows. There's lots of throw pillows there,
lots
too.
Of throw pillows.
I'm known for a lot of throw pillows.
Well, welcome, Sarah. What, first of all, what inspired you to want to come back at the year or closing in on the year anniversary? What just is interested to you in coming back and sharing the story or reconnecting with the God Journey audience a year later?
I don't know if it was necessarily about a year, but the year anniversary, it just happened that some of the things that I was going through have happened to be around the anniversary of 1 year since I left Wayne. And so maybe it took me a year to get to the place where I, a few weeks ago, and for a month maybe or more, I was dealing with a lot of anger. And so maybe it took that long for me to become angry at the perpetrators, and also was angry with my mom for some reasons. Felt that, she was kind of used to or manipulated, I don't know. It all dealt around the area in which I lived. Everybody, all the perpetrators and people that were involved were in a square mile around. I lived in realizing some of that. There is a lot of things that have been told through the last year off and on that I've seen now were kind of just laying there in the midst of all the broken pieces and not seeing them, but they were there. And I have been told different little nuggets of truth, and then at one certain point in time, they all started to come together. Kind of like you had said, you know, a year ago, that when we had talked, you told me that I had kind of like a big puzzle dumped in front of me, and I had to kind of sort through what was, I don't remember what you were, at that point in time, I think all I could say was, I don't know. And I didn't know, and I didn't know, and Wayne asked, I don't know.
It's amazing, though, how much of that puzzle has clarified over the last year. You know, what the last year is like. It's been up and down. It's been mostly up. But, man, the pieces we have, even the pieces that have come together in Sarah's timeline just the last few couple weeks has been pretty incredible for her to see what she sees and know what she knows. And she could write almost an autobiography of her childhood now, which you said, I don't remember anything about my childhood. I don't know anything about it. And now she's got more information than she needs.
It was interesting. Sure. I woke up the other week or two ago, I forget. And it's just, you wake up and you know things in the flash of a second. And you just know that you know them. And knew, I had questions about, you know, why, where was my sister? Why? Where are my parents and different things? And so it was just in a split second of, you know, waking up. And it's not like I even went to bed and I was thinking about it, just waking up. And there was several different things. And in my mind, I'm laying there in bed and I'm calculating years and, you know, how old my parents were at different times, how old I was. And, you know, so many different pieces of the puzzle were just put together within just this short period of time. And it made sense. And I was just like, I mean, it's just like you sit there and you just, wow. Because there's no way I could be able to come up on that myself.
Well, and it's interesting that as I hear you talking, Sarah, the image that I get is, at least when my family does a puzzle, somebody will be working on like one section. And so they'll be putting together like a piece of the picture. And then they just set that whole chunk down in the middle of the puzzle. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's this whole nother level of the picture that just got added to it that brings that clarity, that context, gives more texture to the overall photo.
And this was more like the one a week or two ago, where like a lot of different little sections of the puzzle were together and they were linking up. The sections were joining up.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was answers to why I was in this situation. It was putting medical issues together and events together in a timeline with about, you know, 5-6 areas. And it helped make sense. And I just, you know, like at a 4-year-old, you know, I know where my mom and dad were. I know where my sister was. And I know why, and that just so much gives, because, you know, every now and then you just still think if the whole thing is just so surreal and it's just like, am I still kind of making all this up? Yet I look back and you, it, that just, that made sense. It makes me then accept and believe this is true, even though I don't, most of the time I don't, it's just so surreal. Some, you know, you don't remember something for 64 years, but then certain things have just, you know, especially with a lot this last 2 months, I think this has been happening when the anger started inside of me. And Wayne, just like you said, you know, I would tell him, I'm really mad. And he just, well, you don't look very angry, but inside I am, and I'm still dealing with some, I would say I'm mad at my mom. I mean, she's gone, but I'm dealing with the child mentality of what I'm feeling with mom. And there was an anger. There was an anger of why did it happen? Anger of the people, anger. There was our home growing up. Is connected in a farm that my grandpa, who was the one who did this to me and others, that they still have the home. And I was almost obsessed, but not quite. I was spending a lot of time looking at the home. I don't want to live there in Ohio. I don't want it. I don't want to live there. But I was angry that they have it. And it's just like, I'd rather have it be burned to the ground back then. I mean, then they don't deserve that. And how all the things that were, I mean, there's a lot of them, and all these people, a lot of them are gone, but the house is still in the family. And just, I felt that my mom, I mean, it was their house. So I had no right over who they wanted to sell it to when they sold it and moved to California back in the 80s. And so I just couldn't let it go. And I was just, I was looking online at graveyards. I was looking, trying to find articles. I was trying to, you know, delve in, trying to find out when they died, how they died, what kind of life they had. You know, I'm just, because they robbed me of stuff. And, you know, that's what I felt. And then it just.
And they did.
And it was just. I was angry. It might not have been looking outside, but I just couldn't. It was just like one of those things you just couldn't relax and let it go. And so they lived, our house and all the people around who were involved in this lived within a square mile. So I would be on Google, you know, Google Earth, and you come in and you zoom in and then you look and you go back out. And so I'm looking around and, you know, it just was there. And a few weeks and I, you know, but I was just letting it work through. And then during some of this time, someone who's helping me, she was just saying, helping me to see, I chose goodness, to let goodness navigate my life. And I aligned myself with my dad, who was a very kind, gentle person. And with that, I started, but I was seeing, you know, the darkness and of what was around me and what people had done. And so I think it was, I was trying, you know, it, to simplify it, there is good and evil, right? Good and evil. And I'm trying to work through them. I'm navigating. I've chosen to be good. At a young age, I don't know why I chose that. I just was good, wanted to be like my dad, and was a salvation for me. And so there was the anger, there was this goodness, you know, good and evil, and who, I mean, it's not just sexual assault. It was, there was a lot of issues and mental issues within my mom's side of the family, and a lot of dealing with manipulation, people who are controlling, you know, bullying, who want to use people, who want to be bossy or just mean. It's not just, you know, sexual assault. It's just choosing to take advantage of people. And so not wanting to be that. And so that's going on. I got the anger going on. I got the house that I'm, you know, I don't want it, but I don't want them to want it, you know, or have it. They don't deserve it. And because mom and dad built it and they loved it. And,
that was a beautiful statement, though, that you've let goodness navigate your life. Yeah. That you, so much darkness around, and you could have leaned into that darker space.
Yeah.
But for probably the modeling of your father, you chose to lean into goodness. And that's a great statement for you. It was very touching for you when you heard it.
And so there's a lot of things all at that one time. I had all that. And then I was trying early on, way back, probably in, when the memories were coming, I'm just, when I was seeing someone, I was just like, how do I accept this? How do I work through this? How do I adjust to this? How do I process this into my life? Because it, I mean, that totally is a new world out there that you didn't, that I didn't know, or at least mentally know, and my body did. But so she was just, this was like, oh, last summer. At the beginning, it was just saying, okay, you have one, you're here in this space with this, you know, darkness, with this, where I am in life. And you move on, and you, and this I didn't quite understand at that point in time. So it's one of these little things that I'm finding, that you nuggets that you have, and it gets, you hear it, God brings it into your life, and then it just, he puts it down, you know, or we put it down, or we don't pick up, and it doesn't ring, or it doesn't attach or hold. And then she said, you have this other world out here, and you choose. And she was speaking to me. She said, I choose to take to that new world what I want. I take what I want to believe, what I want to think, how I want to live, who I want to take with me, what I want to do, where I want to go, and how you want to act. And so you leaving it and going to another one. But but that kind of just got put down. And I was, you know, just, that was, she was trying to help me at that point, how to accept what I was finding out. And that was the memories that were coming up. So I kind of had that back there. And then all these, and I'm zooming in and out. And then it was a couple weeks ago, or I don't know, several weeks ago, Wayne was going golfing. So I was walking the dog, and I had my headphone on. And I was listening to my song list songs that were coming up on the list that I've had. And some of them were like 12 years old that they've been on the list.
That you've listened to over and over again, because these lyrics have really touched your heart.
And so it's interesting the sequence that they came up on. Hmm. When they came, and one of them is the by Mercy Me, I think it is, Say I Won't, and this is how it starts, and I'm going to read it because I'll blow it if I don't. It said, today it all begins, I'm seeing my life for the very first time through a different lens. Yesterday I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. Well, I've been waiting to live my life's been waiting on me. And that's where I just like, it's just like, I saw yesterday, I didn't know what I had. I was driving along 35 with the rocket inside, which was this whole trauma and everything that's inside that I had no clue what was there. And it was driving me. It's driven me my whole life. And then interestingly enough, and there's one line, I thought this was kind of cute, and that it says, it talks about, I'm going to know what it means to live, not just be alive. The world's gonna hear. I'm just like, that's interesting. That's just what I did.
It is.
The world did hear.
And still is.
So it was that song. And then I'm just like, you know, I just like, oh my gosh. Because I've, these songs, three of them, I knew that they were, that's something that God had in the list. And I didn't quite all understand what they meant at that time, which was odd for me. And usually, but I knew that they were for me. And so I just kind of sang them, and I just was, it's just interesting how the songs now hold a different view in my mind. I know how I was when I was feeling the first time, when I heard them a year ago or whenever I heard them, but it's a different take on them now. The next one is, I think it's Not Over with Mandisa, I think it is. And it's talking about, it says, in referring to Jesus, you're right here in the questions, in the quiet, you're still speaking. You're out here in the unknown, in the lowest low, you're still reaching. Even now, you're orchestrating a miracle. You'll finish what you started. Something good is coming, what you started in me. You're revealing, you're the breakthrough and the answer, every promise, all my healing. In that, I remember with this one, I just like, when I was listening to it, it's like, something good is coming. I'm just thinking, there is nothing good that's coming. And you're finished what you started. I had no clue what that is, but I knew that he was, I could, on the promise of knowing that he was there. And now I just like, you'll finish what you started. It's just like now with the trauma and that revealing he started, and I even think of what Wayne was sharing, being back in when seeing a little girl in the bed asking to be delivered, that he is doing what he started, and that something good, like right now, this last, where I am now, the lady I've been working with, she says it was hard, it was a bad thing, but there is good. And it's where you focus on that is good where you are now. Hmm. And so anyhow, that was the next song. And then this is another one. It's There Was Jesus, Dolly Parton. Somebody else sings it. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting. Like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. I'm not perfect, so I can thank God every day. There was Jesus. On the mountain, in the valleys, in the shadows of the alleys, in the fire, in the flood. Always is and always was. No, I never walk alone. You're always there. For this one, any whys that I had, when I got to this point, there was the whys were no longer whys or why did you have this happen to me? There was, thank you for being there with me. Mm-hmm. All the whys that's not there. It turned from any question, and it's not necessarily that I had or was asking those, but I've had, you know. It was just that, thank you, Jesus, because you were there. I knew I could, there was two memories. One, in the bathroom, I saw a light shine through, and I knew he was there. And then there was another one where I'm on the ground. Somebody's coming after me, but I'm on Jesus' lap, on him, and he's under me and holding me. And so in that, it's just when it's saying like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, that's where I started then. And when I was walking, I was thinking of all these little things that have been told to me or I had thought, and through the last year of some of the ones I've talked about were the different worlds. And I was thinking how that those are him, little gems, little nuggets that they're broken pieces are mixed in there. And they were showing me that he's been there. He's been speaking. I just wasn't recognizing it. And so I have all these, do you want to have any questions? You want before me keep going?
I told you if you asked the right question, you'd never get her back.
I got lots of questions, but keep going, Sarah. You're good.
Okay. So I was dealing with all these, you know, the anger and zooming in and out and just, I mean, I just was mad and just mad that they had this. I was hoping that the people who did this to me didn't live a good life, that they died early and that they were gone. I mean, it was just, isn't that brutal?
It's real.
But, I see that, you know, my perpetrators, my body, I didn't know it mentally, but my body knew that all these perpetrators who did this to me and living within a square mile my whole life, growing up until I went to college. And I just, no wonder, you know, then I seen, you know, how my medically, the issues that I had, how my body knew. And then I was at different times, I would think about different things. I respond and know different illnesses. I mean, I can go back through my medical history and I just see it. I see at different times of what I was reacting and what I was doing medically and how my body issues and the surgeries that I had. And so what I was dealing with. And so, I mean, I'm dealing with all this. And so I'm working but then I'm seeing good and then evil, and it's, and really simplified. I mean, in some ways, I mean, I'm aligning myself over here and all the evil over there. Do I want to? And then when I was this lady who's helped me, do you want to be and align yourself with that? No. Do you want a part of that? No, I don't. You know, and do you want to live there? No, I don't. I don't want it. I mean, it was almost a obsession. It consumed a lot of my energy and time, right? And I'm looking and so after these songs and seeing how Jesus was there, seeing all these different things of what he's, the trauma and how he was there, I was in, I was talking with someone and we're talking through all these different things, the anger or all this and in and out, I don't know why all of a sudden I'm zooming up, right? And I'm zooming up. And I told her at one point before that, I just said, good riddance. I mean, I was just it just came out of my head, good riddance to all of them. And we talked more a little bit about that. And as I was saying it more and more, good riddance, and good riddance, the emotional attachment, the pain, the whys, it was diminishing. And I could see myself as, you know, as we were talking, I'm hovering over the house right here in the house. And I'm just like, huh, you know, all that. And then little bit by little bit, I'm going up higher and higher, and it gets less. The other houses around get less and less. It gets less and less out of sight. I'm up higher to where they're gone. And when it was gone, out of sight, it was gone out of my heart. The attachment to that. I was asking this person, I said, about mainly about forgiveness. I was trying to ask, but didn't say the word forgiveness. But how do you know when you have forgiven, or, you know, it's not grabbing a hold of you, because that's part of that, you know, it was grabbing a hold of my heart. And she said, it's how you react or how you don't react, you'll know. Mm. And you know that you're no longer in that paradigm. And I wasn't in that paradigm anymore, as it was getting higher and higher. And it was kind of just gone. And I was sharing that with Wayne, I think the next day or something.
It was the next morning you shared it with me. Yeah. That morning it happened. We sat and talked about it. And then and the next day I asked you.
About if God, how did I get that image or something of the...
That's not like a drone image of just like a drone above the house. And yeah. That just went way up so high, you can't even make out the house anymore. That's how she was describing it to me.
And he said, well, how'd you get that? And I said, well, I don't know. Just, you know, I've been in and out. I've been zooming in and out for the last long time, weeks, you know, trying to, you know, hover over all these people that cause so much pain. And he was just saying, well, how you thought God, that was God. And that's where it connected me to then the other one, where the broken pieces in that it's a blessing. What is it? A blessing.
Blessings and broken pieces.
Blessing and broken pieces and broken pieces of our lives. And these little blessings and blessings, little nuggets that God puts in there. And it's really God speaking to us through different things. But I didn't recognize that until now. And I just like, oh, how many other people? Because, you know, some people, they see dreams, they hear, you know, it's dramatic. It's, you know, it's a very theatrics. They can hear God. And then, well, I don't hear that, you know, and why am I, you know, why can't I hear that? But then I'm seeing God could really, he puts things there sometimes for whatever reason, if it's on us, that our eyes haven't been opened, or if it's time's not right, where he reveals this and all these little things. Because another thing that was have come together, another thing at the same time, all this is happening. I'm letting go of the house, and was around, I think, the same week that we bought our new house. Mm. And then I remembered, at the very beginning, I got about this two worlds, you know, my past, the world where I am, and then me creating a new world. And that's just like, we got a new home. We got a new life that we're building. And I get to choose. We each get to choose what we take to that life. We get to choose how we think, how we're going to act. Mm. We get to choose who we're going to take. And we made the cut.
I made the cut. Man, I'm so happy. And, I'm not sure if I made it before the dogs made it, but I made the cut.
Yes, you made it before the dogs made it. But they're very close behind.
Yeah, sure. You're nipping at your heels.
I'm happy to be third with that club.
No. And I was, you know, I've been dreaming about the garden. It was about a week or two later, and I'm telling her about the garden of what I'm thinking about. And she said, Sarah, that's you. That's you. That's the you now. With the new life that we're building. And we have a plaque out there. I don't remember what it says. What does it say?
And now together they built a life they love.
And that's what we're doing. And it's really hit to me. It's just, because I've always, from growing up and from the trauma and everything that happened, I have to do what others do, and that's my only purpose in life, is to do what others want me to do. Mm. But with this new world, I'm the one that chooses. I get to choose what I want to do. I get to choose where I'm going to go. I get to choose that freedom of being able to be the one to choose. And so anyhow, so that's kind of most of it.
It's so good.
I think that's some of it.
I'll help you unpack it a little bit. Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, now you can have questions. I'll be quiet.
I think that just to fill in that one conversation, I think you got kind of sidetracked from it. But when I asked her, I said, where did you come up with that image? And she was saying, I don't know. And I said, you know, if I were telling that story and I were you, I'd be saying, God gave me this image to feel like God gave it to you. Mm-hmm. And that's where she went, wow, I think maybe mm-hmm. he did. And then had that sense of, so God shows me stuff too. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he has not been this entire year helping us through that with her. She's seen a lot of stuff that's just incredible. Love it.
It's just recognizing that. I mean, part of it, I think, recognizing that God can speak to you and we're all special, and that makes you special.
And that blessings in broken pieces is kind of like a diamond in a bunch of shattered glass. It's not easy to spot, right? And you can get all cut on the glass and focused on the glass until you look for the gem, the diamond that's... And God's presence in us and the way God interacts with us. I think that's even true, not just for Christians. I think it's true for the world too, that God's helping people see those things that they may miss that God's doing in them. It's pretty powerful. So,
well, and for me, I'm listening to you talk, Sarah, and when you're talking about the ability to choose, that I get to choose who I bring into this, I get to choose who I get to be, I get to choose what's going to be a part of this next life. There is so much authority and empowerment when you're saying those things. Like it, I feel it in my chest when I hear you explaining that.
Yeah.
It's like this surge, like this energy of a whole new level of strength is hitting me when I'm listening to you process that out loud. It's incredible.
Yeah. But it's a lot of the things I had to work through. I mean, there's the anger, there's the even the forgiveness, and there's just, you know, just the good riddance and even finding those nuggets. It was, I don't know how that happens. Does God keep them hidden until a certain person, right? Or does our eyes see that, or are they open? I don't know.
The good riddance is such a powerful term. It's used so negatively in our culture. Good riddance to bad rubbish and red rubbish and all that angst. But when Sarah was saying it was like, this is the beautiful side of forgiveness. Good riddance is such a positive sense of I'm saying goodbye to this influence in my life. And for Sarah, maybe it's really forgiveness. It's the ultimate forgiveness of I'm walking away. I'm going on with my life. And it's maybe a little bit easier for Sarah since all these people are no longer here. There's no thought of reconciliation. There's no hope that something beautiful could still happen out of relationships that were painful to her, which is kind of a double-edged sword. You know, it's good on the one hand and painful on another. But I think it's a lovely way for people who really struggle with forgiveness to come back to this is the positive side of it, which is good riddance. I'm letting you go. I'm letting your influence on my life go. Now, if they're still alive, hold out for reconciliation all you can. But reconciliation takes tenderness and honesty. And until people are ready to get there, you have no obligation to try to reconcile to somebody who's still lying, who's still angry, who's still accusatory. I mean, very toxic relationships, you do get to say good riddance to. It's okay. Even if they're family, it's okay. And then what you want to let into your new world, let in. And what you don't for now, just saying, you know what? I think for Sarah to say those things and the power behind it when she says it is seeing herself as a doormat for so long. And now being able to say, I'm not the doormat. She lets broken people into her life. It's not just I'm going to carve out a little life that, you know, just is all my own happiness. Sarah gives her life away still in beautiful, amazing ways with people. But she's choosing to. She's not being compelled to.
Yeah.
Sarah, what is your favorite thing? Or like your favorite attribute or your favorite characteristic that you have discovered or are grabbing hold of in this new expression of more wholehearted life? What's your favorite element that you're taking with you into this new world?
Okay, Kyle, I am laughing because, and I'll answer this to the best of my ability, because out of my relationship and respect for you, but I don't like it when I'm asked favorite because it struggles. No, that's okay. No, wrong. Because it for me, it goes back to having the ability to dream and to find your wants when I was a kid, and I wasn't allowed that. So I don't have those, and that's where it's hard for me. I'm still learning to find what that is for my life, if that makes sense.
It does.
So
can I change the wording a little bit?
Yes, please.
But she does have a favorite author. You could ask her about
that. I do have a favorite author that came out in Nashville when we were there, and there was Wayne.
Still music to my ears. Still music.
Yes. So if you would reword that, I'm so sorry, but that's the only reason why the favorite. I was laughing.
What's something that you're learning to delight in, or that you're learning to claim for yourself that you haven't been able to in the past as you're moving into this new, more wholehearted space, as you're moving into this new place that you get to have the power to say what comes and what doesn't?
The light bulb that the fact it you can have somebody say, because it took me a while. Okay, I'm learning, but you know, you're adult. You're not going to be in trouble. Let's say, for example, like that. And so the fact that you can have somebody tell you, okay, you're not in trouble. You tell yourself you're not in trouble. You repeat it back, but yet you don't really believe it inside yet. The thing that I have this world that I get to choose, because I can remember when we were first talking, I can remember it's like, you know, it just didn't make sense. It didn't gel, but the choice, I guess, is that a choice that I exist? Mm-hmm. Whereas before I didn't exist except for others, but that I have now, I can exist and that God created me to exist where I didn't have that before.
What does it mean for you to exist? When you say that God has made you to exist, what does that mean to you?
I'm still learning, still That's processing. Okay. So I guess I see an example for me to kind of help me to see how I can want and learn to have wants and learn to find out who or what I like. Best example is we're right now remodeling a house. And I'm very grateful. For Wayne and how he is allowing or helping or enabling us, not enabling, I'm trying to think a word, to decorate it, to find it and be a place for us for the next however long we are here. It's one floor, and so to make it our place. And part of that, I'm working with a designer. And one of the things has been, if I have a design, if I'm in a, I have my house decorated, somebody comes in and they don't quite like it, then that, to me, it always is, okay, I have it decorated wrong. It's not right. So I'm not able to have what I want. And plus, I don't know what I want. But then this, I mean, how God's given this designer, it's a couple, he's a contractor, and she's helped me explore my likes, encourage me. And when she says, ooh, I like that, and she loves everything, I think she does like what I like, and she's not just selling everything.
She even liked your leg warmers the other day. I thought she was going to take them right off your legs. Like, she's going, I didn't wear those. I don't want to wear those.
So, I mean, it's just, it's helped me to explore ways to find my wants and my likes, which I've never explored or felt that I could have. There would be externally from Wayne and others, I would have the opportunity, but internally I wouldn't have the opportunity. And I think that's helped me to. And then when she likes what I like, that encourages me, and that kind of helps me. Oh, I can do this. And so it's kind of helps me, not like a pat in the back, but it's just, I can be able to exist with once, mm-hmm. and I can be able to have my own style versus others. And so that's kind of been a really, it's a practical thing that's really helped me to learn how to explore areas of existing and planting the garden and finding, you know, just, I don't know what the word, I don't know how to describe it. I don't feel like I'm describing it right.
But I think you're doing great. I think part of it is you saw everything as right or wrong. So if somebody criticized something, I did it wrong. Rather than now, it's preference. And this is my preference. And this is our home. And it's crazy that we're, I didn't know we bought a fixer-upper when we bought it. I thought it was a pretty good home the way it was. But the more we shape it around the way Sarah wants, we tear out another wall, move another ceiling. It's been really hilarious. From we can just repaint this kitchen to actually we're tearing out every cabinet in there and redoing it. So
it's, I guess it's allowing me to dream of dreams that I never thought that I could have or would be allowed to have.
So. That's beautiful.
And not only to have them, but to have them affirmed.
Yeah.
Right? Like as I hear you talking, I hear you talking about learning how to, the fact that you've been given permission and been invited to have a voice, but not only invited to have a voice, but having people that you don't even know around you, that you just started to build a relationship with, say, I love your voice. I affirm your voice. It's a beautiful thing.
Couldn't we just wish we could do that to each other all the time, huh?
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit of what's happened.
Well, we didn't get 7 podcasts out of this conversation, but we did get another one. Sarah and I continue to share this incredible story in hopes that it will encourage others in the midst of loneliness and despair to look for the path that Jesus has laid out for you to find his freedom and grace. And if I may, a brief announcement before we go. Sarah and I are putting together another tour of Israel, this one in February of 2024. She wanted to taste it again in her newfound freedom. We've got room for others to join us if you want. Check out the podcast notes for a link to all the details if you're interested.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.